Good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. And it is good to be here with you on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. That's a common story. We all know that story. And I expect, because of some of the things we talked about the last day or beginning Friday evening, that you suspect there might be challenges ahead, depending on what decisions you make. Elijah also knew in the setting of this story that there would be challenges ahead. Our God loves challenges, especially the ones where we're not going to do it on our own, because that's when he shows up and gets all the glory. And this is a setting where we see that happen. I think most of us love this story. If we sit and meditate on it, it gives us goosebumps. And we just say, wow. And we say, wow, what a prophet Elijah was. Wow, what for miracles he did. And power that he had. I want to remind you this morning that Elijah was a mere man. And Elijah put his pants on in the morning, one leg at a time, just like you and I do. No, he didn't. I'm wrong. Elijah didn't wear pants. But he girded his robe about him just like every other man. And we say, oh no, but wait, he was Elijah. He was special. We don't get to say that, brothers and sisters. He was a mere man. He was Elijah. But he was a mere man, just as you and I are mere men and women this morning. He had the same struggles. He had the same doubts. He had the same fears. He got hungry. He got tired. He got discouraged. He was simply a man. If there's anything that set him apart, it's this. He knew who his God was, and he knew what his God can do. And more than that, he knew what his relationship was to his God. The power of God could flow through him as a channel because of that. The only distinction that sets Elijah apart from anyone else, including Ahab, in that time, is that simple fact. He knew who God was, he knew who he was, he knew the power of his God, and he knew the relationship that he had with God. And he chose to serve him in humility and obedience. Complete submission. And he knew well what the personal cost could be. There's no difference to us this morning. There's nothing that's keeping God from using us in the same way he used Elijah, except for me, except for how I respond to him. There's nothing else stands in the way. God hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His ability hasn't changed. But all his power and all his ability can't flow through me when I won't let it, when I won't submit, when I won't be obedient. It's impossible. It can't happen. And I'm fascinated as I look at this passage this morning to see Elijah's different postures. Where Elijah knew what God's will was, and it was in his power to do it, he went forward without any doubt. Full speed ahead, wide open, fully committed, doing what he knew God wanted him to do. However, where only God could do it, Elijah, in humility, humbled himself before God and allowed God to use him in a way that glorified God beyond anything Elijah could do. God did the impossible through him. But even in his humility, he had full confidence in his God and full faith in his ability. And we're going to see both of those postures as we go through this. Now, this is 46 verses, so relax. I'm not going to go over every verse and expositorily cover it. You won't be here till 1 o'clock. I promise you. But we're going to look at this passage. I draw your attention first to verses 7 and 8. And here we see Obadiah and we see Elijah. And I'm just going to be transparent and say, more often in my life, I'm like Obadiah than I'm like Elijah. And what I want you to notice is Obadiah is a godly man. He is. He's a godly man. There's nothing wrong with Obadiah and his relationship to God. But there's a stark difference in Obadiah's faith and Elijah's faith. There's a stark contrast. Elijah tells Obadiah that the Lord said that today I'll speak to Ahab. Okay, that is a direct command, if you will. It's a certainty. And Obadiah says, what have I done wrong? Why would you ask me to go to Ahab and tell him you're going to speak to him? And when you do, the Spirit will carry you away somewhere. And Ahab will kill me because he won't be able to find you. That's a lack of faith. When God says, you will speak to Ahab today, there's nothing to doubt. But Obadiah, being a man, and I'm not critical of him, I'm just using that as an example. This is where I find myself. But what if? And Elijah, he was the complete opposite. Now, this is pretty easy for Elijah here compared to Obadiah, right in this setting, because Elijah knew for certainty that he wasn't going to go anywhere. Obadiah had to take that in faith. But just a few verses later, when Elijah meets up with Ahab, and Ahab says to him, oh, you troubler of Israel. And Elijah says, no, it isn't me that troubles Israel. It's you and your family. Now, we miss this whole point here in our time. Nobody talked to the king that way in that time. That was your head. You didn't talk to a king that way. That was a death sentence. And Elijah didn't hesitate. When he knew what God wanted him to do, he did it. And I point this out simply to show the stark contrast between the faith of Elijah and the faith of Obadiah. And Obadiah was not a bad man. He was a godly man. But there was a difference in the level of their faith. Now, Obadiah had strong faith as well because he hid those priests away, prophets away, in caves and fed them. He was risking his neck. He wasn't a coward. He was a good, godly man. But there's a difference in the level of faith here. Let's go to verse 21. And Elijah tells Ahab to gather the people to Mount Carmel, including the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And here we find them now gathered, assembled at Mount Carmel. And verse 21 says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hold ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. What I want you to see out of this verse is Elijah came there to the assembled people, and he kind of spoke to them, gathered them to him, and spoke to them and said, how long do you halt between two opinions? How long, some of the other translations will say, how long do you limp along? And the people were certainly limping because, remember, we're 3 years in to no rain. We're 3 years in a famine. And the whole chapter started out by them looking for water. And so the people are certainly limping along in their idol worship. And Elijah says, how long are you going to do that? I feel bad for you. How long are you going to limp along and halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be undecided? How long are you going to scorn God? How long are you going to try to do it on your own? How long till you're willing to be obedient? And then he puts out the contest and says, let's see who God is. Let's take two bulls and we're going to do a sacrifice. And the God that sends fire, he's God. I would have liked to be there and ask Elijah if he had any concern about that they're going to use some kind of trickery to make this happen. I mean, they weren't above doing that. But Elijah doesn't seem to be concerned about that they're going to use some kind of trickery. And they go through the process, and the prophets of Baal spend all day calling out to Baal, and eventually Elijah ends up goading him on. Again, you see the character of the man. You see his confidence. And I want you to note that I can say confidently this morning, you see his confidence, not his arrogance. He's not arrogant when he's encouraging them on, because you see, as the story unfolds, you see a man of humility, but you see a man who is sure and confident in his God. There's no doubt in his mind what his God can do and will do when it aligns with his will. And finally, it becomes Elijah's turn. They give up. They're weary. They've cut themselves up. They're exhausted. And it's Elijah's turn. Let's go to verse 31 through 35. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as it would contain two measures of seed. And that's about 14 quarts, just to put it in our thing. So roughly a 5-gallon bucket of water. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 water barrels with water and pour it on the burnt offering and the sacrifice and the wood. And he told them to do this 3 times. Now, this was not, up until now, he followed pretty much what was customary. The people would have known what was happening. And then he goes off on this tangent and says, okay, now flood everything with water. I wonder a little bit how far they had to go for water, because remember, this is a drought. So they probably had to go a little distance for water, and they do this 3 times. But the point I really want you to get from this is Elijah removed all doubt that he was going to use any kind of trickery. There's no way possible that Elijah can use some sort of trickery and create fire. Everything is completely soaked. The trench is full of water. There's no question that God's going to have to show up. Elijah burned all the bridges. It's now in God's hands. God is going to have to show up, or Elijah's going to be proven a charlatan. He was doing everything possible to remove any doubt that it wasn't about him. It was about God. And here's a question I have for you and me this morning. To what length am I willing to go to give God an opportunity to make himself great and to glorify himself? To what length am I personally willing to go, and how much am I personally willing to put myself out there at my personal cost so that God can show up and be great? Remember, Elijah was a mere man. But also remember, just like today, God don't ever make me do anything. Everything I do, everything you do, is by my choice or your choice. God never ever says, Jason, you will do this, and then uses force to make me do it. That's not who he is. He didn't do that with Elijah either. It was Elijah's choice. It was Elijah's choice. How far am I willing to go to allow God to glorify himself? And maybe even more important than that, how much do I trust him? Just how much do I trust God? How much do you trust God? What are you willing to risk for God to glorify himself? Verses 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. And listen to his heart here. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. Why? That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back. Nowhere in this is there anything about Elijah. Nowhere in this is it, God, do this so I don't look like a charlatan or so I get some glory. Elijah only cares about two things. He cares about God and he cares about the people. He don't care about Elijah. Elijah's not important. The people are important. And God is important. It's not about Elijah. Then the fire of the Lord fell. And I love this part of the story. This gives me goosebumps. Like, God, the fire of the Lord fell. And it burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dirt. And it licked up the water. Wouldn't you actually like to see God's fire licking up water? Fire don't lick up water. It don't. It don't burn up stones either or soil. And the people said, you are God. You are God. You are God in Israel. But now we get to verse 42 through 44. And here's the real test of Elijah. Because remember I said we see his posture in two different ways. When Elijah knew what God commanded him to do and it was in his power to do it. And up until now, that was the case. He could do everything. He built the altar with his hands. God didn't come down and build the altar. He didn't do the wood. He didn't do the sacrifice. He didn't get the people together. Elijah did all this. These were all things that Elijah could do. And he did them with full confidence and full energy and full commitment and full obedience. But now, we're getting to place, Elijah can't do what comes next. But I want to remind you, we didn't read it this morning, but I want you to remind you, back in chapter 17, when Elijah prophesied the drought, he said, it will not rain unless by my word. That's what he said. Elijah's word wasn't possible to make it rain. Elijah's word couldn't make it rain here. Elijah told Ahab before it rained that it would rain. But Elijah could not, it was not in his power to make it rain. Only God could do that. And here we see his humility. Here's how we know he wasn't arrogant. Because when we get to this, he goes to the top of Mount Carmel. He sits with his head between his knees. And it don't say what he was doing. But I think we know as human beings what he was doing. He was praying. What else is he going to do? This is the test of, is Elijah God's prophet or not? If it don't rain, he's not God's prophet. He's human. He's a mere man. He don't just sit there praying. He isn't quite that confident. He sends his servant and says, go look towards the ocean and see if there's any cloud there. Does that sound familiar? Feels pretty familiar to me. And the servant says, there's nothing. He does this seven times. And then finally the servant comes back and says, there's a cloud there the size of a man's hand. And I want to draw your attention to what the change in Elijah. As soon as the servant said that, what did he do? The Elijah that we saw before this comes right back on the scene. He says, go tell Ahab to eat and to drink because there's going to be rain. And then a little later he says, go tell Ahab to get in his chariot and head towards the city because there's going to be a lot of rain and it's going to be a storm. It hadn't done anything yet. Still hadn't rained. I didn't touch on briefly in between here. He had slain all 850 of the prophets of both Baal and Asherah. Verse 46. And he girt up his robe. So he pulled his robe up, tucked it in his sash here so his legs would be free. And he ran faster than Ahab's horses, chariot, 16 miles into the city. That wasn't Elijah. That wasn't Elijah's strength. That was God's strength. But what was Elijah is he was willing. He was completely willing to be absolutely obedient to do whatever God wanted him to do. And God could have total confidence that whatever he asked Elijah to do, that Elijah would do it as his channel and not for Elijah's glory, but for God's glory, which gave God the absolute freedom that he needed to show up in an amazing way to the people. Brothers and sisters, it hasn't changed. God's still the same. God's still looking for Elijah's today. God still wants to reach his people and make himself great. And now before I close, we have to look at one other thing that proves Elijah was a mere man. And we don't have to go very far. We just turn to the next chapter and we see and we say, wow, Elijah, what happened? What happened to that Elijah that just ran 16 miles and killed 850 prophets and called fire down from heaven and thumbed his nose at Ahab? He's running from Jezebel. That's because he's human. He didn't have to run from Jezebel. Jezebel couldn't touch him. He's untouchable while he's inside God's protection. But Elijah was simply human like we are. And sometimes I forget who my God is. And I'm not going to spend much time on it, but we all know the story. It's another beloved story. He goes, hides himself in a cave, and he says, I'm the only one left. And God shows up. But not the way he expects God to show up. God shows up and says, no, Elijah, you're not the only one left. And yeah, I recognize that you're human, but I intend to keep using you. I have other plans for you. I'm not done yet. And I simply say that in closing to say that Elijah was a mere man. He was. That the proof is there in the scripture. That doesn't take away or detract from anything that God used him to accomplish. It doesn't take away and detract from the fact that he was a faithful prophet to God. And God used him powerfully. It just helps us understand that God can do the same thing with us if we're willing. God used Elijah to show his power. But bigger than that, God used Elijah to reach his people and bring them back to him. And God's still in that business today. He's still wanting. God's greatest desire is that all the world would be saved. That we'd all know God the way Elijah knew God. That's his greatest desire. I leave you with a few questions. I asked them before. How far am I willing to go to allow God to be glorified and make himself great? How far am I willing to go? What am I willing to put on the line? At what personal cost am I willing to allow God to glorify himself? Because he'll ask me. He'll ask you. But he'll never make me. He'll never make you. It's our choice. If Elijah would have said, I won't do it, Lord, then we wouldn't have this story. How far am I willing to go to make God great and make him known? How far am I willing to go to stand in the gap for the people? Because that's what Elijah really did. Elijah stood in the gap for the people who had turned from God and gave God another opportunity to reach them and turn them back. How willing am I to stand in the gap for God? How willing am I to be obedient and submissive to God as Elijah was in his day? And if our answer to those questions is this morning is, Lord, I'm willing, then whether Living Water does a church plant or not, God's able to do great things that will glorify himself and build the church. Regardless of what your decision is on that, God will be glorified, the body will be strengthened, and the church will prosper. Because it's, again, the posture of my heart towards my Lord that determines what he can do. That's the only difference in Elijah. It was his posture of his heart towards his Lord. And it's the same today at Living Water and everywhere else. It's the posture of our hearts that allows God to glorify himself, to build the church, to reach the people, to allow us to stand in the gap. And I just want to close and bless you as a church, as a body, as individuals, as you seek his guidance for where you go from here, and as you labor where he calls you, in the church, in his bride, in the body. He is able. He is still able to do miraculous things. The question is, am I willing? What level is my faith? Do I have the faith of Elijah? Because that's really what it took, the faith. And all of us can have the faith. Do I have the faith of Elijah? And am I willing in complete submission to allow God to use me as his channel to accomplish his purpose? I have that choice, just as Elijah did. So do you. That's our choice. It's up to us. And Elijah wasn't special as a human being. He was a mere man. He was special because of his relationship with God. And I have the opportunity to have that same special relationship with God that Elijah had. And so do you. It's totally up to us. God is willing. Are we? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered as brothers and sisters, part of the body of your bride, the church. Lord, you have promised, and we see you doing it, to build your church. I just pray that you would continue to build it here in this community as you have, as this body of brothers and sisters looks to you for guidance, looks to themselves for their willingness to follow your call, whatever that may be. Father, I just pray that you would guide them, direct them, make your will clear. Father, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable them to be channels for your glory, for the church's blessing, and for each other's encouragement and blessing, for our own strength and our own growth. Father, I pray that we would just, as Elijah did, that we so have clearly seen this morning, we just place ourselves in your hand and say, Lord, if it is your will, we are willing to do it, so that you would be honored and glorified. People would be brought to you. The body would grow and be strengthened, be discipled, be encouraged and blessed. Father, I just again pray your blessing on each one here. I especially pray for your blessing on the leadership team, the ministry, as they continue to lead, Father. Give them wisdom, give them clarity, give them courage, and fill them with your Spirit, that all together we may be honor and glorify you, and we may be strengthened and encouraged for your work and your glory. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.